Well, we're going to continue our study of 2 Peter, and for those of you that are guests with us or you haven't been with us in a while, what we're doing is we're just methodically going through. We went through the whole book of 1 Peter, and now we're on 2 Peter, and we are crunching it out. We're 37 weeks in. I love it. This is good stuff. So this morning, this is what I want to ask you to consider this morning. Jesus' potential embraced. Now, what I'm going to do this morning, this week, we're just going to kind of take an interlude. Some of you, before you Google the word, because you've forgotten what it means. In other words, we're taking an intervening episode between some powerful verses. Before we jump into verse 12, because we're going to reread verses 1 through 3, and then when we begin to study verses 4 through 12, some pretty intense stuff here, some great illustrations, some things that there's no way that we're going to have the time. And we're not trying to do an exhaustive study as we go through. We're trying to highlight, and what we really want is for you to just be baited in with greater desire to just say on your own, I'm going to dive into the scriptures. I'm gonna learn more about this passage. That's what we're hoping. But last week's lesson, I mentioned who and what still matters. Now, if you weren't here last week, you'll have to check it out and see exactly what we're talking about. But let's read verses 1 through 3 together from the New King James. But there were also false prophets among you. Think about it. From the very beginning when the church started, false prophets. Even as there will be false teachers among you present here, not necessarily in this group, hope not, but if you are, we're looking for you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed by covetousness. They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not or will not slumber. So, before we jump into verses 4 through 12, I really hope that you can just hear my heart this morning. Because as we've been studying, and as we've been going through, and as we've been breaking down 2 Peter chapter 1 especially, I really don't mind if some of you at some point say, oh my word, Tim sounds like a broken record. Because I feel like redundancy is good. And until we get to the point where we press in the way that I'm going to ask you to this morning, I want to be like Peter. Peter said in chapter 1, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things, even though you're walking in the truth. God has got some next level stuff for you, and I am not going to stop bringing it up to you. I hope that I can finish that way. Let me remind you what we talked about last week. We must know the truth of the Word of God to not be deceived by false prophets and false teachers within the church. Now, I'm just going to say that in my lifetime, it just seems like an overabundance of this in the big church. More false prophets, more false teachers than I have ever been aware of. We have to know the truth of the Word of God. And we must know the truth of the teachings of the Bible to not be deceived by false presenters and influencers in the world. We talked about that last week. Some of you, for the first time last week, you began to look at maybe some social media platforms as proclaimers of false truth or false teaching. Now, I'm just going to mention, if you haven't read 1 John chapter 4, I want to mention, go ahead and write that down. I want you to look at and study 1 John chapter 4. Look at the first several verses. Read the whole chapter. It's not a long chapter. It's super good, but especially the opening verses of 1 John chapter 4 fits perfectly with what we've been talking about. But this morning, the reason why I want to just take an interlude this morning is because I didn't mention this last week because we didn't have enough time. We must also know the truth of Scripture to not be deceived by the most personal of the false proclaimers influencers and teachers in our lives, which is us. Self. Ourselves. Most of the time that Lori and I, that I spend with men, women, teenagers, college students, there's a constant struggle that, yes, we need to be careful within the church. We need to be careful on the outside of the church. We need to be careful about those influencing voices in our lives. But I'm saying to you this morning that our greatest problem with false information and falsehood and lies is us to ourselves. Most of us, we are our own worst enemy when it comes to falsehood. Peter is proclaiming some incredibly powerful, life-altering truths to literally transform our human existence. I want you to understand, if you're a guest with us, if you're new to us and you're kind of getting to know us, I'm not trying to be the greatest speaker, the greatest presenter, the greatest lecturer, that's not my goal. What I am is I'm a relational shepherd. I'm a person, my wife and I, we spend time with you. We get in the trenches and we talk and we invest and we spend time. So when I stand up here, like this morning, I hope that you will hear my heart. This is less about heaven. Sorry. It's less about having this like great oratory and everybody goes, oh my gosh, like this is just unbelievable. It's not about that. It's about me with a shepherd's heart and a heart of concern, trying to beg and plead and press in. And I'm going to keep pressing in to say to you, what you listen to, who you are, and the way you think about yourself matters. And the lies that you've been living with and the falsehoods that you've been telling yourself and the things that you've been rationalizing and justifying, it not only hurts you, but it hurts all of us. Because we are called to be a body in Christ Jesus. We're called to be a family. We're called to be a flock. All of those are relational, interdependent terms. So I'm just going to be honest with you. We've had a rough year. We've had some things going on. You know why we've had some things going on? Because within this body, when you individually choose to live with falsehood and lies and you live your life with that presupposition that those things are true, and then it doesn't work out because you're living against the teachings of the Word of God, or you're making decisions against what God has plainly said, and then things begin to happen or things go sideways, guess what happens? Your choices to live out the lies that you tell yourself and your falsehoods, guess what? It has a ripple effect on this whole church family. You say, oh, well, it's my choice. It's my pride. What I do, it's private. Doesn't matter. There again, lie. Well, nobody knows it. Yeah, I'm not in public. Lie. Falsehood. People are watching. People are aware. It matters. So I got a couple questions for you this morning. From my heart, what is keeping most of us from pressing into these incredible truths? So I'm not just standing up here trying to talk about all the time that we spent in 2 Peter chapter 1 talking about that we can have this divine nature, that we can be transformed, that we can live with power, that we can overcome the temptation and we can overcome, the consequences of our lusts and our struggles, that we can live differently, that we can live next level. It's not just so we come in here and it's like, oh, that was a good lesson, get up and leave. No. What's keeping us from pressing into that? Why are we not living with God's divine character and nature on display in our lives? What's holding us back individually? And what's holding us back as a church? I got three things I want to point out this morning real quick. And please understand, I didn't read these in a book. I didn't get these from another author. I am presenting these three things to our church family because these are things that I hear from you. As I'm spending time with people, as I'm trying to help people overcome the falsehoods and the lies that they pour over themselves on a regular basis, these are the things. How do we get to that point? How do we do this? Why do we do this? First and foremost, fears. What's keeping most of us from pressing in to these transformative truths? Fears. Fear of failure. I'm just going to tell you straightforward this morning. If you're not pressing into these life-altering truths because of fear of failure, you've already failed. Some of you, you're scared like, oh, I'm not going to do the right thing. I'm not going to say the right thing. I'm going to fall. I'm going to make... Then you're already failing by not taking a baby step to try to at least see what God can do on your behalf. Some of you, that fits this morning. But the bigger part of fear is this one. This is what I deal with on a regular basis. Fear of the unknown. Change for many of us is scarier than the pattern of sin and failure that we live in daily. We're scared to death of the unknown. Think of it like, it's sort of like this false idea that we present ourselves that somehow in my sin and failure, I have some sort of control. It's like controlled misery. I don't like where I am, but at least I understand it, and I give myself this false sense of control. But anything in your life that you don't have control over controls you. And if you hadn't had anybody that loved you enough to tell you that straight up, I'm going to tell you this morning. It's this false illusion that we feed ourselves. It's like, it's more comfortable, and you know why I'm saying that? I've actually had people, some of you, tell me that over the last several months. Not just one person, but multiple. I don't like where I am, but at least I understand it. I'm scared to death of what God might do for me or what might change or what might happen if I press into Him. The other part of that fear of the unknown, some of you, hear me loud and clear, you are terrified of releasing control to God. Terrifying. Because you're a control freak. And you try to control things in your life and you try to control others because you have no control over yourself and you've never figured out. And so then, because you got trust issues going on, it's terrifying for you to think about trusting God. Because if you're like me, if you've been presented with religiosity, you're waiting for the gopher hammer at the beach to come on you. Like if I get my, like you think that God is just waiting to whack you. That's not the kind of yieldingness and control we're talking about. Let me move on to the second thing. Some of you, what's holding us back from pressing into these incredible truths and allowing God to do miraculous things in our lives? Past sins and failures that we allow to define us. Past sins and failures that we allow, we continue it. We allow it to define us even now. Thirdly, it's simple. I don't know what your lies are. I don't know what your falsehoods are. But most of us, we have lies and falsehoods that we preach to ourselves every single day, most of the day long. I don't know what yours are. I know what mine are. I know that I have to work valiantly to control my mind. And I am pressing in. I'm telling you right now that I am pressing in more than ever before. I'm not who I used to be, but I'm certainly not who I want to be. But I'm thankful for God's change and His power and His miraculous work in my life. But I have to work just like you do to overcome the lies and the negative, because some of those seeds were planted deep inside of me as a kid, and they were watered, and they grew strong as a teenager, and then in college, and when I first got married. And so it's not quick and easy to uproot those lies and those falsehoods from our lives. To live as Peter has described is to live a life of incredible freedom, joy, and power. That's what we've been talking about. Christ came and lived and died to set us free, to give us forgiveness, but to also give us this powerful, exuberant, abundant existence. In one of his early books titled The Winning Attitude, when John Maxwell was still pastoring Skyline Wesleyan Church, he says this: look around you. Analyze the conversations of people who lead unhappy, unfulfilled lives. You will find they are crying out against a society which they feel is out to get them and to give them a lifetime of trouble, misery, and bad luck. Sometimes the prison of discontent has been built by their own hands. The world doesn't care whether we free ourselves from this prison or not. Now, this is not in his book, but I'm going to say, but we care. That's why I'm standing up here saying what I'm saying. I care. We care about the prison that you've created for yourself. It marches on. The world marches on. Adopting a good, healthy attitude toward life does not affect society nearly so much as it affects us. The change cannot come from others. It must come from us. The Apostle Paul had a terrible background to overcome. He told Timothy that he was the chief of sinners. This is a man that wrote a lot of the New Testament. Said to Timothy, I'm the chief of sinners. But after his conversion, he was infused with desire to know Christ in a greater way. How did he fulfill that desire? Not by waiting for someone else to assist him. Neither did he look backward and whine about his terrible past. Paul diligently pressed on to lay hold of Jesus. His singleness of purpose caused him to state, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. We are individually responsible for our view of life. The Bible says, whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. Galatians 6, 7. Our attitude and action toward life help determine what happens to us. It would be impossible to estimate the number of jobs which have been lost, the number of promotions missed, the number of sales not made, and the number of marriages ruined by poor attitudes. But almost daily, we witness jobs that are held but hated, and marriages that are tolerated but unhappy, all because people are waiting for others or the world to change instead of realizing that they are responsible for their behavior. God is sufficient to give them the desire to change, but the choice to act upon that desire is theirs. Self-lies. Another term for self-lies is self-deception. Self-falsehood. Another form of self-deception. And self-loathing, which is self-hatred, are at the root of many of our debilitating struggles. And with the terms that I just read, more so now in our current culture than ever before. Self-deception, lies of self at an all-time high. To live as Peter has described is to live a life of incredible freedom, joy, and power. This can be experienced, please hear me, this can be experienced by anyone who will believe or trust in Jesus as the Son of God, take personal responsibility, and learn or follow the ways of Jesus. Let me repeat that if you didn't hear me. Anyone can experience a life-altering trajectory through Christ. I don't care what you've done. I don't care about your past. I don't care if you've been in jail. I don't know what your sentence was. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyone who will believe, and this is a problem, some of you might offend you right now, but this is a problem I have with pure Calvinism. Don't tell me there's a little group, and you might know who this group is for salvation. Meh. I believe that when you study the scripture, the mind of God, I believe in predestination, foreordination, all that, but it is seamlessly intertwined with free will and our desire to respond. And anybody that I have ever seen that will press in and believe and take responsibility and begin to follow and understand the truth of the living word of God, I see powerful transformation and their trajectory of their life is changed for forever. I have this quote on my computer screen. I look at it all the time. Craig Rochelle, Life Church. I love this. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. You know why I have that on my computer screen? Not because it's like, oh my gosh, this is my favorite. I love it. I'm going to post it. I don't know how to post anyway. I don't have anything to post on. Except I do use Post-its, so they're all around my office. No, I have this on my computer screen because I'm in the same battle against the lies and the falsehood of self and what I preach over myself that you are. So there's days when I'm sitting there and I'm working on things on behalf of you and I have these battles going on in my mind and I have to pull up that screen and I have to control my mind and I have to derail the lies and I have to get back on track and I need to think the way that God wants me to think and I have to address the lies and the falsehood in my life. You know what Peter's saying to us? What he's been saying in chapter 1? Peter's testifying of what he had experienced in his life. Peter knew the difference between his own power and the power of Almighty God in his life. What I'm trying to do this morning, personally and passionately, I'm trying to testify of what I have experienced in my life to you. Peter's not here. He's not alive. I'm trying to be honest and open with you this morning. I'm trying to share with you what I have been experiencing. I know the difference between my own efforts and power and learning to experience God's provision and power. I'm still seeking, learning, and growing, and I want to walk in my Jesus potential. I want that. I'm not who I used to be, but thank God for that. But I'm not where I want to be because I want to learn what it is for me to live in my Jesus potential. I got to tell you what the church is supposed to be. I mentioned last service. You ever, when you pop popcorn, put some heat on it. Now, some of you younger guys, all y'all know is popcorn in a bag in a microwave. For those of us that are old school, there's a lot of old school ways to do popcorn. And some of it was in a pot. Some of it was an air heater thingy. We had popcorn every Sunday night. It was awesome. We were a popcorn loving family. For those of you, I've told you some of my weird things, and this might gross some of you out. I love to take a bowl of milk and drop popcorn in it and then eat it. Yeah, some of you looking at it. Have you tried it? I'm just saying. Some of you're running your mouth about cheeses and icing. You tried it, now you're doing it. I know you're a closet cheese eater, but it's okay. So I'm just saying, what I love about popcorn, and this is what I don't know if it's just for one person here today. What I'm hoping is that you will get a hold of your Jesus potential, and as Jesus turns the heat up, the Holy Spirit turns the heat up on your life, and then you get that point where it's like, you know how even some of you guys, when you're watching a bag in the microwave, and all of a sudden that first kernel goes, you get excited, you're like, couple more come along, and all of a sudden it gets to the point where it's like, and you're like, popcorn's coming. That's the way it used to be in a big kettle. Sometimes it knocked the lid off. If you didn't do it right, you'd have the lid on time and start bouncing off and start filling up. Now all of a sudden, the lid comes off and they're shooting around the room. Now, I'm not lying. Some of you young ones are looking like, he's storytelling now. No, ask the old people, they'll tell you the truth. Listen to me, that's what it's supposed to be like as a church. That's how we're supposed to use our influence for the glory of God. And then something beautiful erupts, something beautiful takes place, because there's these beautiful little powerful explosions all over our community. Oh, our potential is next level. Off the charts potential because of the character and the power of God available to us. Potential. Let me just read you what Merriam-Webster dictionary says about potential. It's a noun in this current use. Something that can develop or become actual. You know what I'm begging, what I'm pleading? I wish I knew how to do a better job. I believe in our potential. Because Jesus believed in our potential. He lived and died and rose again to make this incredible existence available to those that would just press in and believe and get a taste of it. Incredible power. I'm praying that for all of us. So what's the biggest thing in our lives that keeps it from us walking in this potential? Mediocrity. Potential versus mediocrity. I'm going to tell you, we may be a lot of crazy things in this church family, and I may do a lot of crazy things, but I'm just telling you, if you ever look at me and you accuse me of mediocrity, I'll be decimated. Because that's not, we may make mistakes, and I may say the wrong things, but I'm just telling you right now, we're not trying to be mediocre. I feel like that's the Church of Jesus Christ all across America. Potential. When I look around here, I see life-altering popcorn explosion potential around here. But the problem is, do you believe it? Man, I got a sweat going on right now. Philippians 2:5 in the NIV. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So our challenge is, how are we going to do that? How are we going to learn to have the same mindset of Christ? How are we going to learn to interact in our relationships like what Jesus did? We got to address the falsehood and the lies in our lives so that we can have those kinds of relationships. The gospel generates life-altering power, not just once for salvation, not when you just ask Jesus to jump in your heart and you feel like you got a ticket. That's not what we're talking about. But each and every day in the process of sanctifying work, that's salvation. Because it is a growing relationship, just like what we've talked about from John. Real influence is about relationships. The power of God creates potential as well as influence. We discussed being careful about people that influence your life, but this is the point that I want you to really get a hold of this morning. The reason this is such a difficult battle for most of us is the reality that God's plan involves using each and every one of us to influence other people regarding Jesus' power to rescue and save. I am not responsible for Jesus' message of rescue and power to your friends and family. You are. Men. Oh, man, I love you. Man, Tom, from the very beginning, he's listened to me beller and cry and plead and weep. Time and time again. Begging God to raise up an army of men that will be godly, that will be influencers. Man, I'm going to keep fighting on your behalf because I believe that godly men change a culture. Because I believe that, man, your influence matters. Men, you affect those around you. If you're married or if you have children, you either influence toward godliness or ungodliness. And some of you, you've been raised with this whole backsliding middle ground that doesn't exist. You can't show me that term in the scripture. There's a strong case to be made for what I'm saying, that men, either your influence is godly or it's ungodly. It all depends on how you define those terms and the semantics games that you play with yourself. But if you begin to address the falsehoods and the lies in your own life, you're going to see more clearly what I'm presenting to you this morning, that men, you have a powerful influence, and either it is toward godliness or it's purely not. Ladies, your influence matters. Thank God for women that have been faithful through the years. I read more and more stories throughout history of young men and young ladies in homes that the trajectory of their lives have been influenced by godly women. Some of you ladies, please be encouraged. You please keep fighting. Please take the tenderness and the sensitivity of your heart and press into Jesus. We need you because your influence matters. Children, teenagers, college students, we believe in you. You have powerful influence. When you guys were out there on Friday night, it wasn't just about, you guys did a great job serving. You know who I'm talking to right now. You did a great job. You know why? Because you people saw. You were influencing by your very actions. The teenagers in this church, some of the children in our church and the joy that they have, and some of the college students that are standing up and being baptized and standing up for Jesus and going against the flow. You have powerful influence. People are noticing what you say and what you do and the way you live. And the reason that we are in this battle is because of that level of influence. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the NLT says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Real influence for the kingdom of God is all about relationships. The reason I'm taking this interlude this morning is because I'm asking you once again, what is holding you back from experiencing these incredible, life-altering, powerful truths that Peter's trying to tell us? I know the difference. Guys, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. What's holding us back? I'm asking you to embrace your Jesus potential and experience next level things. Learn it, live it, love it. Psalm 119 I was reading. This is nothing new. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The biggest challenge is for us, just like the psalmist. It's not just the false way out here. It's the false way within. And if you look at what the psalmist is saying about his love for the word and how it cleanses and purifies and helps, it's because the living word of God helps us understand every false way. Song that's been on my heart all morning. And some of you, I don't know, you may not believe in Jesus. You may not have given your life. You may not have trusted him as Savior and Lord. But for the majority here this morning, what my heart is tender toward, it's where we are in our relationship with him. And I don't want to butcher it this morning, but this is a song that's been on my heart all morning. I'm coming back to a heart of worship. Where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Sometimes we just have to have those times in our lives where we evaluate, we look at ourselves and you say, you know what? Ah, man, I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of the falsehood. God, I want to live in freedom. I want a taste of your powerful divine nature. And we have to address the lies and the falsehoods that we teach over ourselves. And then when we make those individual responsible steps and when we get together, we rub off on each other. You don't have to have this incredible manuscript of program Bible studies. You get together and the Spirit of the living God bears witness. And because you're having those things, you hang out with other believers that are brothers and sisters that are having those things. And all of a sudden, it's like that popcorn. And other people go, what's popping over there? You want some popcorn? I don't like butter. That's cool. We got nut butter. What is holding you back from supernatural things through the power of God? Whatever it is, my prayer is that you'll address it this morning, relinquish it, and step into the next level living of freedom, joy, and power because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, you do in me, cleanse in me. Father, I yield myself to you. I want to be a vessel for honor. And Father, I just want to lay myself out for your kingdom, for your truth. And I ask that in my passionate heart that you would please help someone this morning. If it's just one person, Father, I'm begging you for that one life, that one soul, that they would dream and that they would have a vision cast, that they would believe that your proclamation, that their Jesus potential, that they would embrace you on a whole new level, God. We're asking you to do in your church great and mighty things, that you would add to your church today those that need to be rescued and saved all across this region and around the world. Father, please, do you want to do? Heal us. Help us. God, we need you, and we thank you for the work of your Son on our behalf and the work of your Spirit right now. And we yield, we press in, God. Here we are. Change us. And as we stand and as we sing the scriptural truths, I ask that our worship would help our hearts to just be molded and tenderized, that we would say, Father, your will be done. If there's somebody here this morning, you need to talk to somebody about relinquishing control or giving yourself to Jesus. Please don't leave here without doing it. Let's stand and sing together.